In the late 1960s, the U.S. Atomic Energy Commission hatched Operation Plowshare as a government-funded experiment in finding peaceful uses for its stockpile of nuclear weapons. Nuclear projects from Alaska to Colorado and New Mexico were pitched by eager scientists, no matter how ludicrous the reasoning was behind the proposals. Nuclear physicist Edward Teller stumped through Alaska in an attempt to gain support for his idea, using a succession of 5 nuclear bombs to create an artificial harbor at Cape Thompson on the new state's northernmost coast. Gained support he did from mayors, legislators, newspaper editors, and a whole host of gullible and ill-informed officials. Teller had great expectations for nuclear explosives.
We have a new and powerful tool.
That's Teller speaking in a 1999 interview. He called blowing a hole in the seashore, quote, geographic engineering. No matter that there was no evidence of a need for such a harbor in such a place, or that any harbor in that location would have been ice-blocked a good bit of the year. No matter that Alaska natives and villages along the coast used the area for subsistence hunting and fishing.
It would be an excellent idea. For instance, a harbor in Alaska, not far south of the point where Asia and America come closest. We could make a very good harbor there and stimulate the development of the whole region. I went to Alaska, overflew the part, discussed it with people. It came to nothing. Unjustified fear of radiation. I believe that putting the facts before people, having discussions, should help in the long run. But it turns out that the media, the majority opinion, these are things incredibly hard to overcome.
If it had not been for Tiny Point Hope, an Alaska Native village of about 600 people, Teller would have pushed the project, named Project Chariot, through. The Point Hope Natives banded together with environmental groups to raise enough national backlash that Project Chariot was abandoned. Not so in New Mexico. One project right here was backed by the AEC, Lawrence Livermore Labs, and a Texas natural gas company. It was called Project Gas Buggy. In 1967, El Paso Natural Gas teamed up with Lawrence Livermore Labs on a plan to use an underground nuclear explosion to release natural gas trapped in subsurface shale not too far from the town of Farmington. Now, New Mexico is no stranger to nuclear experimentation, so that could be one reason for the nonchalance with which the idea was received. Actually, it was met with open arms by the AEC and by state officials. Did we mention that Edward Teller was directing Livermore Labs by this time? Gas Buggy, as the bomb was affectionately known, was actually a series of nuclear devices exploded at a depth of more than 4,000 feet at an area 50 miles or so from Farmington. The explosions were supposed to fracture the subsurface rock so that EPNG could tap into an estimated 295 million cubic feet of natural gas to boost its reserves for sale to California. Gas Buggy caused a ripple of national excitement in the press. Time magazine, Forbes magazine, even Popular Mechanics breathlessly reported on the experiment and its applications for a brighter tomorrow. Wade Nelson is a journalist who has done some investigating into Gas Buggy.
Original sources were really hard to find for the thing. I eventually ran an ad in the Farmington paper and located one gentleman who had been on the well site itself. And then I struck gold in a Department of Energy database that had become accessible via the web, and download literally hundreds and hundreds of pages of documents relative to Gas Buggy was a bit of a challenge.
Nelson, whose 1999 article in the Durango Times gets lots of Google hits and is quoted from time to time in other accounts of the project, says folks in Farmington and its environs were actually encouraged to come and watch the explosion. Many did, even pulling up their folding lawn chairs to a couple of miles from the blast site. It is not known if they wore eye protection. If all this sounds fantastic and criminally negligent of public health and welfare, you're right. It took the New York Times to put an end to the festival atmosphere surrounding Gas Buggy. In a few words, Krypton 85 gas. Times reporter Peter Metzger detailed what has been described as Catch 85. Radioactive Krypton 85 gas, it seems, is 80% harmless, but we worry like hell about the other 5%, he quoted one scientist as saying. Nuclear fallout was not well understood by the general public at the time, although Edward Teller should have been an encyclopedia on the subject. But Teller was not worried about a little radiation.
All of us get a little radiation. Most people believe the simplistic idea that radiation cannot be but harmful and its damage is proportional to the amount you get. All the facts indicate that this is not so. If you get 5 times what you usually get in a year, if you get that 5 times as much at once, it might stimulate the very things that counteract the wrong kind of changes in our body, like cancer. And therefore, it acts, in a way, as a protective agent. Unproven, but more probable than its opposite. The relevant point is that there is no evidence for a little radiation to be dangerous, and whatever little evidence exists points in the opposite direction. That a little radiation is good for you.
And the natural gas? Well, in that aspect, the bomb experiment was a success. It released the gas all right, and records indicate the well produced more in the year after the bomb than it did in the half dozen years previously, but due to the radiation content, EPNG's California buyer would not touch it. Again, Wade Nelson.
When I figured out that, in fact, the radioactive gas had been flared, that is, burned, and just released, rather than disposed of in any reasonable manner, I mean, that became sort of my headline for the story. And yet, there was no single document, you know, available from DOE that said, and as a result of nobody wanting this gas, we simply flared it. Now, there was plenty of proof that they flared it. For example, for decades afterwards, they've been flying planes over and measuring radiation levels from the radioactive elements that came out of the well. Flaring is just burning, and burning doesn't make something that's radioactive not radioactive.
The old Atomic Energy Commission is now the U.S. Department of Energy, which manages the Gas Buggy site through its Office of Legacy Management.
The monitoring and the frequency may change over the decades, but we'll be monitoring Gas Buggy in perpetuity.
Ken Cry is the Gas Buggy site manager.
That well that they used was plugged and abandoned following the tests that they ran in 1978. They remediated the site. They did an extensive radiological survey of the site. The EPA has done an external assessment of that survey. They've done their own survey. In 1972, the EPA started a groundwater and surface water monitoring program, which we assumed in 2008 when Legacy Management took over the site.
Cry says it is not likely that dangerous contaminants have made it into the local water.
Tritium is the most mobile of the constituents that would have been generated during that detonation that we would be concerned about. All of my experts are very confident that tritium is not going to migrate off-site. It's definitely not going to reach the surface. The groundwater at that site and at that depth is all moving downward. So there's no way we can ever see that would actually make it up to surface water or accessible groundwater.
DOE says at the time of the underground blast, no radiation reached the surface, and the molten rock surrounding the cavity created by the bomb trapped most of the radionuclides from the detonation. Cry says the surface of the Gas Buggy site is perfectly safe, and it has been returned to surface use, like grazing.
I know that we don't have any surface problems at Gas Buggy. There is these elements left over. You know, the United States and Russia tested a lot of weapons above ground between 1940s and 1970s. So unfortunately, some of these do exist in background levels everywhere.
One other legacy of Gas Buggy, it's a stop on the trail of atomic tourism.
We'll get probably one or two school groups a year, a lot of times geology students or people who are who grew up in the area and are now teaching, and they'll take student groups out. I've had calls from other people who are looking at Cold War things, or, you know, how nuclear warheads were adapted to more of a peaceful application, and they're doing research and they come across Gas Buggy. And I think we stand out a little bit because we're the only federally managed surface that's not Nevada test site. And so that makes us a little unique.
That's Rachel Miller. She's an archaeologist with the Carson National Forest.
Gas Buggy turned 50 on December 10th of last year. And when it turns 50, on the archaeological side, it becomes National Register eligible. So it affords some recognition in the National Register of Historic Places. Plus, Gas Buggy is fairly popular to the people who know about it.
There is a small plaque set in the ground within the Carson National Forest, which marks the spot where the 1967 underground blast took place. Miller says back in the 1960s, the AEC and other agencies did not bring the Forest Service into the loop about the Gas Buggy experiment until it was too late. Ingrid Gilbert with the Farmington Convention and Visitors Bureau says the site is of interest to geologists, but so far few are seeking it out.
Over the past 10-plus years, we've had a few inquiries about it, and then probably similar across social media, people asking about the site. It surprises me at the number of locals that don't know about it, and the people that come through here that are not aware of it.
That may change. Right now, Rachel Miller is working on a series of interpretive signs that dot the area where Gas Buggy exploded.
One of the things you want to do as part of starting the National Register nomination process was also to put up interpretive materials to provide people with a more accurate representation of what happened out there versus some of the information that can be found on the internet.
Gas Buggy has earned its place on the trail of nuclear age sites visited by tourists every year. Edward Teller died in 2003. He was perhaps misunderstood. In the 1999 interview, he stated that it was fear of the new and unknown that held back using nuclear devices to engineer harbors. At one time, nukes were suggested as a way to widen the Panama Canal. But Teller lived to see Gas Buggy. It was the first natural gas reservoir stimulation project in the Operation Plowshare program. According to CRI, the Bureau of Land Management, Carson National Forest, and DOE have a memorandum of understanding renewed in 2016 that details which of the agencies supervises the different aspects of any proposed oil or gas or water prospecting on the site, should anyone apply for a drilling permit. But by 1974, approximately $82 million had been invested in the nuclear fracking technology program, including Gas Buggy and two other gas stimulation projects in Colorado. It was estimated that even after 25 years of gas production of all the natural gas deemed recoverable, that only 15 to 40% of the investment could be recovered.